Translation by His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The rivers, oceans, hills, mountains, forests, creepers, and active drugs, in every season, paid their tax quota to the king in profusion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since Maharaj Yudhisthira was under the protection of the Ajit, the infallible Lord, as above mentioned, the properties of the Lord, namely the rivers, oceans, hills, forests, etc., were all pleased, and they used to supply their respective quota of taxes to the king. The secret to success is, and this Prabhupada says this in italics, so this is emphasized, the secret to success is to take refuge under the protection of the Supreme Lord. Without his sanction, nothing can be possible. To make economic development by our own endeavors on the strength of tools and machinery is not at all. I'm left wondering, is there a word missing there? To make economic development by our own endeavors on the strength of tools and machinery is not at all. In other words, there's no real economic development. The sanction of the Supreme Lord must be there. Otherwise, despite all the instrumental arrangements, everything will be unsuccessful. The ultimate cause of success is the Daiva, the Supreme. That's D-A-I-V-A, Daiva, the Supreme. Kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira knew perfectly well that the king is the agent of the Supreme Lord to look after the welfare of the mass of people. Actually, the state belongs to the Supreme Lord. The rivers, oceans, forests, hills, drugs, etc., are not creations of man. They are all creations of the Supreme Lord. And the living being is allowed to make use of the property of the Lord for the service of the Lord. Let's make a few comments here. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vistaya Patalaya Shimat Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvati Gauravani Pachane Nibishesh Sunyavari Bhastita Vistane Shikrishna Tatani Pabuna Chananda Shidvaita Agradaja Vasti Gau Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. So Prabhupada says very emphatically that any attempts at economic development without the sanction of the Lord are a waste of time. In other words, he says, not at all. In other words, there's no sustainability. Can't be sustained. We see many empires and civilizations have come and gone over the millennia. And sometimes even archaeologists or they've discovered remains of which they've no clue as to what this civilization was. It's come and gone. It's lost in the mists of time. Disappeared. And every participant, every leader, and those who participate in the various cultures, very proud of their civilization, whether or not it's civilized, very proud of the culture, and especially under powerful leaders who do not take shelter of the Lord, become overly proud of their achievements, whether they're conquerors like Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar or many heroes and anti-heroes from the past and the present. Empires come and empires go. And we've all heard the phrase, the sun never sets on the British Empire. But my goodness, the sun has set. Night is upon us. And this is all in the course of time. The time comes, a constant factor, Empires come and empires go, but of course time goes on forever. As long as there's a material manifestation, time is there. So everyone is subject to the force of time. And everyone is subject to the laws of material nature. Great demons like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Hiranyaksha, these great heroes of the past, imagine themselves to be able to conquer material nature. But we see over and over again, material nature cannot be conquered. Cannot be conquered. And those who conquer, try to imagine they can conquer nature. Very soon, material nature gives the chastisement just to wake us up. No, we cannot conquer. Everyone is subject to birth, old age, disease, and death. And having taken birth, the conditioned soul thinks he will control and arrange things to his satisfaction, even to the point where he thinks that he can become immortal. And modern science is very fond of, sometimes you see the newspaper headlines, some new treatment for some material condition that we have, some disease, offering hope. There's always offering hope. Yes, tomorrow, 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 we will find what we're looking for. We will invent something. The problems which we have today are the hopes which we had tomorrow. Sorry, the hopes that we had yesterday. Today's problems are the golden carrot which was dangled in front of us a decade or more ago. And so it goes on. Material science, the materialistic mentality, tries to solve the problems of material existence, but simply creates more material problems. And now there's all this, all the fuss about global warming and blaming the motor car and the petrol engine, etc., etc. But the petrol engine and the motor car was heralded as a great advancement. See how quickly we can get from A to B. It was a wonderful invention. But not. It wasn't actually a wonderful invention. Whenever we see in the modern world inventions made to make our life easier, first of all, it won't. It may be a little convenient, but of course there are so many hidden clauses. We don't really read the small print, if there is any small print to read. But we can be sure that all the so-called advancements of a modern society, there's vested interest. And the vested interest is control and making money. That's the underlying basis of it all, making money. So many wars are fought on the basis of economic conflicts. Millions are slaughtered on the basis of money and power, but especially money, economics. Economics. But this is not economics based upon the natural order. It isn't an economics which is sanctioned by the Lord. Real economics, according to the Vedic paradigm, is based upon land and the cow. That's sustainable. It's sustainable. It can go on and on and on. And it's considered primitive in the so-called advanced societies. A sustainable culture is considered primitive by those who have a vested interest and those who are servants of or slaves of that vested interest. So let's continue. Mind you, thank goodness for modern technology. And modern technology, the printed book. And modern technology, those of you listening online. So, yes, it does have a place, but everything has to be used in the service of the Lord. Then it has some value. But if it's used simply for my own gratification, gratification, whether it's monetary or whatever, it becomes a source of bondage. So we shall continue. The The rivers, oceans, forests, hills, and drugs, etc., are not creations of man. They are all creations of the Supreme Lord, and the living being is allowed to make use of the property of the Lord for the service of the Lord. Now hold on a minute. Here Prabhupada says that, well, fair enough, rivers and oceans and forests and hills aren't the creations of man, but what about drugs? We have a massive pharmaceutical industry making billions of profit every year from so many drugs they're manufacturing. I remember as a many years ago reading, becoming a little interested about herbal medicines and natural cures. Curious. And this was probably in the 60s. And I remember reading how herbal cures and medicines, this was dismissed as old wives' tales. This was a few decades ago. So why is it being dismissed? Because the vested interest of the pharmaceutical companies is to mimic or synthesize what they discover as the active ingredient in that herb or plant and sell it at great profit. It's monetary, simply monetary. And so many of these drugs which are administered around the planet, they have so many side effects. Because whereas in its natural pharmaceutical condition, i.e. as it grows out of the ground, that plant has not just the active ingredient to cure the problem in the body, but so many other compounds and molecules and various arrangements to counteract any so-called bad effect. So there's a complete balance in nature's arrangement. Complete balance. And these drugs, as Prabhupada says here, creepers and active drugs. I don't know any creepers that have active. Do anybody here know of a creeper that is an active, has any herbal or health benefits? Creepers, particularly? No. Anybody here know of any plants you can find on the roadside which have medicinal or health benefits? Yes?
The nettle.
Yes. The humble nettle. Can you say any of its benefits that you know of? Blood purification? For hay fever? Okay. Have you found it to be effective? So anyone suffering from hay fever, here or online, nettles take, is that like as a tea, taken as a tea?
Fresh
nettles. Or even take it from the shop, but why pay the shop when you can? So nettle, it's a weed. We don't want nettles in the garden, but Krishna himself is sending this nettle to feed us. Nettles, they're also, you can make them as a vegetable. Of course, you've got to cook them. One second, yeah. You can, is it about nettles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, go on. Lady here's got a pain in her leg, for those who are online. Oh, right. Do you want to repeat that?
Yeah, so...
Thanks to the mic.
One devotee was telling me that he was curing his pain in his legs, like arthritics or swelling or with nettles. He stung himself with nettles.
Right.
So my Guru Maharaj, he told my Guru Maharaj, and my Guru Maharaj told me, he'd also told me, but then I started to sting myself with the nettles.
Yeah.
And it improved my pain in my leg.
And it worked?
Yeah.
So small, short-term pain.
Yeah.
But long-term gain.
Yeah, and my Gurudev said, maybe that's what they're for. So,
well, it's one of the many things they're for. During the Second World War, they used to use nettles. They used to boil them and make a dye and make the khaki color for the uniforms. And you can also make a coarse cloth very coarse cloth from the fibres of nettle, like a sacking. It wouldn't be comfortable, but it's for utilitarian purposes, sacks, etc. Nettles are amazing. You got one for nettles, Prana?
No.
Give us another one, another herb.
Ayahuasca.
Huh?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. Okay, now that's a creeper. Is that a creeper?
Nowadays it's being used quite a lot as a healing for the mind.
Oh, okay. That's a psychotropic substance.
It certainly is.
Taken under strict supervision.
With the shaman, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole kingdom of plants is an amazing, amazing gift from the Lord. And some people misuse them. Some of them will kill you. But in the hands of a good herbalist, for example, foxglove has got, what's that thing called? It slows down the heart.
Digitalis,
yes, but there's a name for the drug that is in the foxglove. I forget what it's called. So even the toxic, what is a toxic plant used properly, can actually be beneficial for the health. Any other plants anyone's got in mind? Silica. That's the yes. The bark of the willow tree. Do you want to repeat that?
I want to.
Yes, you're on.
The willow is used. Aspirin is derived from it.
Yes, yeah.
As a painkiller, and then there's chamomile. It's growing everywhere, and that's good for. It's a relaxant, and it also has a properties of carminative for the stomach, and it has properties to help the liver as well, because it's got a bit of principle in it too.
Chamomile.
Chamomile is wonderful for that, yeah. I don't like the taste of it, but it's a really good herb.
Well, as in the purport, Prabhupada talks about vegetables. So the vegetables are for taste and nutrition, and other plants are maybe not so tasty, but as you say, willow bark is used for they synthesize it as aspirin. Poppy, yeah, opium.
Opium, which is all the class of the biggest class of painkillers.
Poppy and the opiums from opiates.
And cocaine comes from cocoa plants, isn't
it? Because these things are taken up by certain individuals and used, you could say misused, but they do have a medicinal value. They're all medicinal. Like a knife, probably, is a coarse example, a knife in the hands of a surgeon will save your life. But a hand of a crazy man or a hoodlum can kill you. Or money. Money can be used properly or misused. So the same with the gifts of nature. Same with the human life. Human life itself can actually, we can use it to elevate ourselves, or we can use it to degrade ourselves. So everything in nature is a gift from the Lord. It's how we use it which will degrade ourselves and degrade society or elevate ourselves. It's all a matter of our choice, how we use a thing. I was thinking of the humble dandelion. The monks in the monasteries used to grow crops of dandelion. It's a very bitter, good for the liver. The root, the leaves, you can put them in salad. The flowers, very nice taste, actually, the flowers. You can make a tea or drink. Of course, they used to ferment them and make various wines and things. So everything can be used. But who can synthesize? This modern science may be able to synthesize what they perceive as the active ingredient, but they can't synthesize the plant. They have to have a whole laboratory to synthesize some little ingredient. But you take a tiny seed, which is smaller than a pinhead, and stick it in some soil, and give it some water and some sunshine, and you've got all these little drug factories, all these little factories growing all over the place. They look nice, they smell nice. This is Krishna's arrangement. Every plant is a little factory, just like our body is a factory, and we are the man in charge. So everything in material nature has inconceivable complexities, and potencies and uses which today are becoming lost. disappearing. Boom.
Healing of the plant, the leaf of the plant is for the healing of the nation.
Yeah.
And you'll find this in this wonderful book, Revelation 20 and 2, verse 2. The healing of the leaf of the plant is for the healing of the nation. It's quite clear.
The healing, the leaf of the plant is for the healing of the nation. The
healing of the nation. It's for everyone, basically.
Very nice.
So all the therapy that we need is actually in the plant. For the body. All the therapy for the body.
Therapy. Yes.
And to maintain balance,
you'll
find in nature. Yeah. Everything is there.
Absolutely.
And the variety is staggering.
It's all there.
Yeah.
Yes. What we find is that many so-called, what we say, indigenous cultures, the original inhabitants of a tract of land who've been there for hundreds, even thousands of generations, they know the plants and their uses. But as modern empires expand and generally overrun, either destroy or degrade the indigenous culture, these things become lost. For example, India. So many people in India are taken at the Western way of life, living in the cities. The village ways are forgotten. People have forgotten how to utilize the plants which are here and there. Prabhupada even mentions this verse and the purport. I've not even finished the purport yet. This verse and purport, Prabhupada gives, there's two classes Prabhupada gives. One's in London, here at the manor. Prabhupada is speaking from this verse. Another verse in Mayapur. And one of those talks he gives, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And in one of those lectures on the verse, Prabhupada says that in the 1930s, he had an excruciating toothache. Anyone here like toothache? No, nobody likes toothache. Very agonizing. So Prabhupada says that his servant took him to visit some bills, otherwise forest dwellers, some native people, and they knew of the plant and the root, that you put a piece of the root next to the tooth and it drew out the infection from the tooth. And he said it worked. He didn't say what the plant was, but there's so many things which have been forgotten in modern life. Not only forgotten, but purposefully stifled, as we said before. The use of herbs and plants for healing and medicinal purposes was poo-pooed by the mainstream science and commercial interests, because it's not in their commercial interest. Just like there are many different claimed cures for cancer. Some's to do with diet, some's to do with various combinations of simple herbal ingredients. And many of the people who did successfully cure cancer ended up in jail. They were prosecuted and spent many, many years in jail for curing cancer with non-pharmaceutical means, because there's vested interest. So this is a symptom of a whole society. It's based upon simply upon economic gain. So let's continue with the purport. These are all creations of the Supreme Lord, and the living being is allowed to make use of the property of the Lord for the service of the Lord. Today's slogan is that everything is for the people, and therefore the government is for the people and by the people. That's today's slogan. But to produce a new species of humanity at the present moment on the basis of God consciousness and perfection of human life, the ideology of godly communism, the world has again to follow in the footsteps of kings like Maharaj Parikshit and Maharaj Yudhisthira. Just read that again. But to produce a new species of humanity at the present moment on the basis of God consciousness and perfection of human life, the ideology of godly communism, the world has to again follow in the footsteps of kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira and Maharaj Parikshit. There is enough of everything by the will of the Lord, and we can make proper use of things to live comfortably without enmity between man or animal and man or nature. The control of the Lord is everywhere, and if the Lord is pleased, every part of nature will be pleased. The river will flow profusely to fertilize the land. The ocean will supply sufficient quantities of minerals, pearls, and jewels. The forest will supply sufficient wood, drugs, and vegetables. And the seasonal changes will effectively help produce fruits and flowers in profuse quantity. The artificial way of living, depending on factories and tools, can render so-called happiness only to a limited number at the cost of millions. So we may think that we're benefiting from modern technologies and advanced, so-called material advancement of life. And there are a few conveniences, of course, but as we know, there are so many inconveniences. So many inconveniences. The land becomes polluted, the water becomes polluted, the air is polluted, our food becomes contaminated and polluted, even modified with this genetic engineering. Everything's becoming tainted and disturbed because of man's greed. And we also greedy. The conditioned soul is greedy for some facility, greedy to satisfy his senses, greedy to acquire so many possessions, so many things to make give him a sense of security. But those who actually benefit the most are the persons who are making these complex arrangements. The owners of big factories, the owners of banks, a certain quarter of society, of course less than a quarter, probably a hundredth, if maybe even less, have become very, very wealthy at the expense of the well-being of so many others. So it's a very top-heavy, very narrow benefit for just a few. The artificial way of living, depending on factors and tools, can render so-called happiness only to a limited number at the cost of millions. Since the energy of the mass of people is engaged in factory production, the natural products are being hampered. And for this, the mass is unhappy. The natural products are being hampered. What do you think Prabhupada means when he says the natural products are being hampered? Do you want to use a microphone? Just use a microphone for the benefit of a... Yeah.
The chemical industry synthesizes the plants into drugs, the natural ability to heal people more naturally is impeded, and that's why we get sort of lots of side effects of the drugs and things like that.
Yeah. Anything else? Since the energy of the mass of people is engaged in factory production, the natural products are being hampered. And for this, the mass is unhappy.
Could you use the example of food is sent to factories and then turned to like canned food, convenient foods?
Yeah.
You go into the supermarkets and you look on the shelves and you see so many artificial stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's been flooded. You know, society's been flooded with this, with these things, convenient foods. So I suppose that's one example.
Good point. The food, you go to the supermarket, There's so many convenience foods, yeah. But you can, of course, you can buy fresh vegetables and fresh fruits. But one has to ask the question, where have they come from? They're not grown locally. They're not grown even in this country. They're flown, they have air miles. Everything we eat has air miles attached. It's so complicated. And consider that if there's a shortage of petroleum, well, then we all starve. The factories, the tractors run on petrol. Not donkeys or asses or horses or oxen or petroleum. So no one is self-sufficient. No one is self-sufficient. There's this codependence throughout the whole of the world, whole world. And the energy supply is under the control of a very few, the oil supply. And now, of course, pushing for electric cars. It sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. But what if your electricity is rationed? Then you can't go from A to B. Or you can just go a little bit around here. You're not have the freedom to travel. We say, oh, electric cars. Yeah, okay. I've got an electric bike. Okay. But you're restricted. You can't carry your fuel with you. You've got to plug in. If there's power supply cuts, big problem. Or the internet, what a wonderful thing. But all it needs is a solar flare, a couple of solar flares to knock out the satellites which are used to bounce the signals around. No internet. And everything's dependent on the internet. Everything is dependent on the internet. The economy, the government, education, finance, knowledge, information, administration, politics. There's no limit to the list. Everything is on the internet now. So when, not if, but when that goes down, complete chaos. That's why Prabhupada urged, as it's one of the ISKCON's seven purposes, to establish self-sufficient communities, which are actually independent, can act and survive independent of the mainstream. We should finish the purport. Without being educated properly, the mass of people are following in the footsteps of the vested interests by exploiting natural reserves. And therefore there is acute competition between individual and individual and nation because they're reserves. In other words, there's a limit. It's not unlimited. There is no control by the trained agent of the Lord. We must look into the defects of modern civilization by comparison here and should follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Yudhisthira to cleanse man and wipe out anachronisms. We must look into the defects of modern civilization by comparison here and should follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Yudhisthira to cleanse man and wipe out anachronisms. Who knows what the word anachronism means? Out of time. Yes, very good, spot on. Chronos means time. Chronos, chronism. Anachronism. It means something out of time, out of place. Yeah. So why out of place? What is Prabhupada saying? What is out of place? This whole attitude of using material nature in the service of man rather than in the service of the Supreme. That's an anachronism because it isn't sustainable. It results in the destruction of every civilization in the past, in the present, and in the future. So I've been asked to stop early. We've got a wedding here at 8:45 setting up. So we've got a couple of minutes for any addition, questions or comments. Please feel free.